$150 later, I walked out a happy man. That's Twilight Zone material. Why's it got to be so murky? You're not crazy. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that.
All right, Ira, I got to call your attention to this. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan there, his latest campaign, it's been going on for months now at JoeBucksFan.com, and it just illustrates how committed he is to Bucks fans and the Buccaneers and the many players who are customers of Bill Curry Ford and the coaches. If you've noticed, Ira, on JoeBucksFan.com, the Bill Curry Ford ad that you see there, Sean is always thanking a different Buccaneer for either his service in the community or his great play. He could be advertising his nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. He could be advertising the great Mustang Roush or the Ford F-150 or the gorgeous Ford Bronco, the really cool new one that everybody loves, the Bronco Sport. But no, the new ad up popped today. I got another one. Thank you, Donovan Smith, for your great play. I mean, this is what Sean is. This is what Bill Curry Ford is to Bucks fans. It's not just about the money, and it's the same thing when fans turn to Sean and ask him for help in getting a vehicle for what, or whatever their vehicle need is. He's there for him personally.
This guy is one of a kind, Steve. You know, DeKemper told us the other day he got home at 2:30 in the morning, and he didn't go to sleep till 5:30 because he was churning out stories. Lee, Sean Sullivan's a guy that gives you a run for your money in terms of work ethic. When he's not thinking about Bill Curry Ford, he's thinking about the Bucks. He's probably already thinking about the fantasy league, Lee, that we're going to have in about a month. And he posted a $1,000 bonus last year. He didn't have to do that. No matter your credit history, he'll work with you to get your preference. You will walk away very jubilant about the deal you get. And these deals go 12 months a year. Lee, some dealerships, you know, they wait till July 4th, Labor Day. This guy's going 52 weeks a year. I can't say enough about Sean Sullivan. He's been great to me. I can't wait to see him again. Bill Curry Ford.
BillCurryFord.com. It starts there. Buccaneers fans, hours from the start of training camp 2021, this is the Ira Kaufman podcast. It stars the sage of Tampa Bay sports, and what a sage he is, the great Ira Kaufman, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We are fired up, Ira. Short podcast today as we finish our workouts, as we get ready for the grueling grind of training camp, the sweat pouring off the sage's head. And, of course, this is episode 2 of this week. Anybody can listen to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Podbean, Google Play. We're even going to sit down and record on Sunday. We're fired up, Ira. How you doing? How's the tennis game? And, you know, I neglected to ask you before I get to a couple of good nuggets here, Ira. You went on vacation. What's the best thing you ate, Ira? And what's the overall diet situation right now? What's the diet looking like from when you started? Are we still double digits down? What's going on?
I hopped on the scale yesterday morning, and plus three, gentlemen. Now, not plus three since I started the diet, but plus three before I got on that Southwest flight to Santa Barbara. Played a little tennis today, 103 heat index. Of course, hopped on the scale when I got home because I want the good news. Made up the 3 pounds. Have an extra pound that I think I might have lost. But, Lee, that's all water weight, so I'm not going to get too excited about it. The real test might be the scale tomorrow. But I've bounced back strong. Steve, a lot of memorable meals, but I think number one has to be a place called Moon Shadows in Malibu. Malibu, gentlemen. While DeKemper is going to some little nickel and dime Mexican restaurant in Spring Hill, I'm in Malibu sitting with the hoi polloi. I thought there might be a chance that Al Pacino might stroll in. Didn't happen, but we got a table near the roaring surf of the Pacific. I thought a beach boy munching on a quesadilla. Didn't see it. I had the crab and shrimp linguine, gentlemen. My wife had Chilean sea bass. We combined for 3 drinks, dessert, coffee. $150 later, I walked out a happy man. I thought I was doing good. I spent $101 on a meal at Yardbird at the Bellagio. Or no, Venetian, excuse me.
Steve, when you go to Big Storm, it ain't going to cost you $1.50. The prices are outstanding. The food's great. But how many times am I in Malibu, Mr. Isbitz? How many times? So I took it as a special occasion. You know, I got a birthday next month, early birthday present. I'm sure you boys will celebrate with me on August 11th. But it was one hell of a meal because the patio kind of lurches out over the Pacific. Didn't see any surfers, gentlemen, but it was an extraordinary meal.
Ira, when you said you walked out happy for $150, then Lee was talking about Vegas. I got confused for a minute.
And by the way, speaking of Vegas, I don't like that airport, Isbitz. McCarran Airport.
All right. Enough complaining about an airport. Come on. What are you, 75 years old or something?
Stevie, what's on your mind in Buckland? What's on your mind?
I got a funny one for you. It's very serious. It's very telling. It's eye-opening because of the Tom Brady legend just grows with this kind of thing. But then you think about what was here before at quarterback and if this scenario had played out, and it's almost comical. And what I'm talking about, Ira, is, you know, the Bucs finished up there in the current series, the six episodes of the Hard Knock style thing that they do that's sanitized and pro team, rah-rah, all that stuff. It's great most of the time. And, of course, this last episode focused on the Super Bowl and the aftermath and all that. But Brady explains in there, and I've picked up a tell, Ira. I've picked up a tell. Tom Brady, when he's telling the truth, he talks fast. He talks fast. He sort of loses his measured way. When he's talking fast and he picks up the pace, that's when he's telling the truth. I'm going with that, Ira. But anyway, Brady...
You'd be a poker player, but it's outstanding. Outstanding.
Brady was talking about how, before the Super Bowl, he would check in with Todd Bowles to get an honest read during the week on the defense. Because Brady was explaining, hey, look, it gives me confidence because I'm on the other side of the ball trying to play a complimentary game. So when I hear what the defense is doing and how it's looking and I get an honest take, Brady's like, okay, you know, cool. I don't think they're going to score 40 on us, so it affects how I play quarterback. So I'm thinking, obviously, this is ridiculously next-level stuff where the quarterback's going to the defensive coordinator trying to figure out, all right, how bad are they going to whoop our ass? And I need to figure out how many points I need to win. But could you imagine Jameis going up to Mike Smith and saying, what's the plan for Julio Jones? What are we doing here? I need to play complimentary football. And just the comedy of that ever happening previously, you know, it says a lot of how far this team has come.
That's next-level stuff, Steve. Indeed. The reason Winston didn't want to talk to Mike Smith is he was afraid of what Mike Smith might say. You know, I think you're going to have to score 38, Winston. You don't want to hear that as a quarterback. this Brady stuff's unbelievable, Steve. The more we hear about this guy, the attention to detail above and beyond. He's talking to Todd Bowles. Steve, he's kind of saying it would affect the game plan, the offensive game plan. I mean, who does that? Do we have to play more ball control, keep our defense off the field? I mean, that's Twilight Zone material.
Well, that's why Brady's Brady. And, Ivor, you're absolutely right. That did determine what Brady would do with the game plan. I'm sure it didn't dictate. Like you said, it shows attention and detail. And you hit the nail on the head. I always did say it. When Winston took the field, he had to outscore his own defense. The guy was already in a 40-point hole. And with Brady, that's just one of many examples we could cite in this podcast, if we chose to do so, of why Brady single-handedly has turned this franchise around. I never, ever thought I'd see one person, I thought maybe three or four guys, but I never thought I'd see one person take this team from the lost decade, the woes of the lost decade, which was some of the worst you've ever seen in NFL history, to a Super Bowl champion virtually overnight. That was Tom Brady.
You know, hey, Steve, one more thing I was thinking about, quick.
Mold. You were thinking about mold, Ira, because mold is it's unacceptable. Unacceptable to have mold in your house. You can't put it off, especially in the summer when it grows like a weed. If you find mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. No hesitation. You call them up. They'll come out. They'll give you a free assessment. What can we do? This is what we need to do. This is how we need to approach calling the insurance company. This is our technology. They're going to get out there and inspect, and it's free to get that assessment. You can't screw it up if you call Florida's Elite Restoration for any issue in your home, Ira. You know it. We know it. You've told. You're a walking freaking billboard for that company, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
And I'm looking forward, Steve, to seeing Josh and his crew at Big Storm in the fall during Buck Road games. He came out last year. We got to meet everybody. Steve, you could just tell that he just doesn't take anybody to work with. He's got quality people, quality product. Lee, I'm going to throw this out quickly, and we'll move on to the Bucks quickly. But I was thinking about this with Brady. Lee, you've heard about these Mount Rushmores, different teams, you know, different yeah. cities. And I'm pissed, Lee. And I hate to say it because, you know, I'm not a big fan of Boston, Massachusetts, necessarily. But, Lee, there ain't nobody that's going to beat Boston, Massachusetts when it comes to a Mount Rushmore. If you got to have a player from all four teams. I'll give you the boys right now. Ted Williams, Bobby Orr, Tom Brady, and Bill Russell. Nobody's going to beat that, Lee. Nobody's going to be close.
I applaud you for saying Bill Russell over Larry Bird, and I love Larry Bird. You can't argue with Russell's resume. And now for the rest of the 75-year-olds that listen to our podcast, let's get back to the Bucks.
Well said. Well said.
It's a good debate, Ira. I'm not sure all the Boston types would agree with you at all, but you know, maybe one day when we're all in the rest home and you know, you're 93 in the assisted living facility, you know, I'll walk over from the independent side and help you out. We can talk about it. All right, Ira.
Hey, Lee, in a couple of years, can't we claim Tom Brady for Tampa Bay?
I say we already do. To me, he's in the Ring of Honor right now. He's in the Ring of Honor right now. There's no question in my mind.
All right, Sage. Listen, this is going to be a big subject because the Bucks are starting off their training camp first, along with the Cowboys have started. And, you know, just because they're playing early, they get the earlier start, a lot of attention. And it's obvious the NFL now is putting the full court press on players to get vaccinated because they don't want to just mandate the vaccine because of they'll get sued, NFLPA and all the political stuff. And they're trying to throw out there that, hey, games are going to get suspended. You're going to have to forfeit if you're not ready to play, you know, which to me, I don't understand it, Ira. They played every game last year when there was no vaccine, and Roger Goodell's not going to start cutting checks back to networks because he can't canceled games. I mean, the Broncos played a game last year with no quarterback. So I don't know. I think it feels like an idle threat, but I bring it up, Ira, because Leonard Fournette was open about his lack of desire to get a vaccine. And Bruce Arians was leaning on the players in front of the president the other day. And nobody really knows what percentage of these players are vaccinated and all this stuff. But we don't really care in some ways because it's all part of the hype machine of the big media out there. They're going to go crazy with it. ESPN and Mike Florio's already going crazy. How do you think this shakes out in the end, Ira? I want to ask you now. So when the football starts on Sunday, we don't get dragged into this nonsense. What do you think? How is it going to play out? How's it going to happen with the players and the coaches and the league? And, you know, obviously it's going to be almost impossible for every team to have 100% guys vaccinated. So they're all going to have to deal with it on some level. And what cracks me up is it doesn't matter who the player is because it's a vaccine, right? If the Justin Watson, has COVID, he's just as likely to pass it on to everybody as a superstar player with a big name. So I'm just curious, Ira, what your thought is.
Steve, in the big picture, as usual, your instincts are right on in terms of what's coming down from the league office. Lee, I think it's mostly a scare tactic. It's a way for the league, short of mandating, which they're not going to do, to try to encourage players to get vaccinated. Steve's right, Lee. If they didn't need an extra week at the end of the 2020 season when there was no vaccine, it's highly unlikely that they're going to use one at the end of this season, and the NFL says they're not going to use one. Well, I don't think they're going to have to, because they found a way, and they'll find a way again. Now, Lee, bringing it down to one Buccaneer place, I think this is something to talk about, because, look, Lee, the big competition is at running back. I mean, let's be honest. Going into Sunday and barring some injuries, I mean, that's the spot. You know, is it Fournette? Is it Jones? How many carries is Vaughn going to get? Where's Bernard fit into the picture? Other than that, Lee, we're not talking about somebody, you know, challenging Ali Marpet over here or Ndamukong Suh. So a lot of focus on the running back position. And here comes Fournette. I guess he deleted the tweet, Lee, but it was out there.
Oh, yeah. I got a screenshot of it.
Yeah, screenshot. People saw it. And so, Lee, here's what I'm saying for Fournette. If he doesn't change his tune, I think he'll put himself at a little bit of a disadvantage. Doesn't mean he can't win the battle, but he's going to be at a disadvantage where last year everybody was on the same level in terms of protocol. Lee, this year, not everybody will be under the same protocols, depending on whether you're vaccinated. There's a lot of changes for vaccinated players. And I think Fournette will hurt his case in his battle for Ronald Jones if he maintains the no vaccine approach. I think it's going to hurt him.
It can't help him. That's for sure. I don't know if it's going to hurt him. It can't help him. I think the players that it's going to hurt are the bubble players. If there's a bubble player and he's not vaccinated, you can lay money. He's not going to be employed. Like Steve mentioned, the NFL has to walk on eggshells here. They can't be too forceful about it. Otherwise, here come the lawsuits. And just so all our listeners know, and we could be very transparent here, I'm vaccinated. I'm very pro-vaccinated or pro-vaccine. But I fully understand why someone may not want to get the vaccine, may have issues, may have qualms. I fully understand that. I see both sides. But you know, my advice to my doctor, a medical professional, he said, you're getting vaccinated. I didn't even blink an eye. Yes, sir. Thank you. Now, if everything's absolutely even between him and Ronald Jones, and all of a sudden a Bucs teammate comes down with the COVID, not necessarily Fournette, are you going to lean with Ronald Jones starting over Fournette because he's not vaccinated and already the locker room has been hit by the virus? Possibly. Possibly. It certainly adds just some drama and intrigue in training camp and preseason and early few weeks of the season.
Sage, what I want to know is, you know, these coaches, Arians, Tom Moore, they were among the first wave of people vaccinated. I'm guessing it was in January of last year. If all of a sudden the word comes out that the thing expires after a year, are they going to get an official NFL space suit for Arians and Moore to walk around in? I mean, what's that going to look like, Ira? You know, suppose they're caught out of the space suit. You know, I don't know. The whole thing is a little crazy, but I hear what you're saying, Ira. It makes sense.
You know, I didn't get my vaccination till March, and I'm sure Arians beat me and Tom Moore, and I don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of data coming in. It changes a lot. If I hear I need a booster, I'm like Lee DeKemper. I go to my physician. If he says get it, I get it. I don't enjoy saying this, gentlemen, but in terms of full disclosure, which is one of the reasons.
Keep your clothes on, Ira. Keep your clothes on.
This is the nation's number one Buck podcast is because we tend to tell it like it is, Lee. I'm having some problems in my own family, not my wife. But in terms of getting people vaccinated, my loved ones, it's a problem. It's on our minds. It bothers us. If I have to be a crank, Lee, and be relentless about it, I will. And I won't feel any guilt about it, Lee, because it's that important.
Since we're speaking about the COVID, was I asleep at the switch? Now, I watched the last two episodes of The Current last night. Last week I was in Vegas. I had other currents on my mind. So I caught up with The Current, watched the last two episodes. Was I asleep at the switch? Was I dreaming this? I could have swore on one of those episodes they said Ronald Jones came down with the virus.
I think it was Jones's father.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what Arians told me, that it was Ronald Jones Sr. Yeah.
Okay. I thought on that one of the current episodes, they said Ronald Jones came down. I kind of did like a Looney Tunes, like, what?
He was out 2 weeks. But it's sort of...
I knew he was out 2 weeks, but I thought that was injury. I did not know that was the virus.
It was both at the same time.
Okay.
Both at the same time.
We don't know that he tested positive, though, Steve. We don't know that. I don't think we know that.
I just know he was on the COVID list. That's all. If you're on the list, Ira, that's all that matters. You're on the list.
We know Devin for a fact. I mean, he's admitted that Devin White did test positive. We know that.
Yeah. Steve, what are you going to be looking at on Sunday other than my new safari hat, Isbitz? What do you look at?
Well, look, fans should realize that Sunday is opening day of practice, 8:30 to 11 a.m., and it's underwear football. No pads for the first few days, which means there's not much to look for, in all honesty. Sure, you're watching the cornerbacks cover the receivers, and you're looking at the pace of practice and stuff, but we've been down this road so many times. It's a big nothing until they put those pads on and the competition really starts to heat up. Looking at Aaron Stinney the other day at the White House, he seems to have added some bulk. I think that's a quiet competition that they're going to be saying, hey, it's Kappa's job. But you know what? They know that Stinney can play, and obviously Stinney is steaming with confidence at this point. I think that's an interesting battle, but it's not coming on Sunday.
Lee, I got a guy that I'm going to watch early in camp, and you talked about him last year early in camp as making a positive impression, and I think Bowles is thinking about this guy. How do I get this guy more snaps, Lee? I think he's an ascending player. He's not a complete, polished pro. I'm thinking about Mike Edwards, Lee. Now, look, he's got Winfield. He's got Whitehead. You know, Whitehead's improving. Winfield was a stud rookie. I think Bowles is thinking of ways to get Edwards on the field and maybe a multi-defensive back alignment. I think they like Edwards' ball skills, which I think are better than Whitehead's. Lee, this Edwards kid, they like him.
You know, last year, just by training camp practices, and I think I might have missed one practice, he practiced with the first team defense all of training camp. And I thought he was going to win the job as a result. He didn't embarrass himself. He was making plays. Again, he was with the first team defense all the time. And I guess it was the second last practice before the regular season started. Bowles went up to Winfield. Hey, job's yours. Don't lose it. You know, take it and run. But down the stretch, not only did Mike Edwards play well, they sure needed him. I mean, when Whitehead went out, Winfield was hurt. I mean, the fourth quarter of the Packers game, their starting safeties were out, and Edwards was on the field, and he made some plays, obviously made some plays in the Super Bowl. I'm with you, Ira, and that's a great problem to have. If you've got too many defensive backs, that's a great problem to have. The great thing about Mike Edwards, the way he's advanced in his career, that gives guys plays off. They get snaps off. They get to stay fresh. That adds up down the season, and that's a big thing. Who knows? Edwards might even be pushing Whitehead for some time. And I'm a Whitehead fan because I love the way he hits. And because of the way he hits, the Bucs beat the Packers.
You know what Lee said in terms of an embarrassment of riches, if you want to term it that. Steve, it's another example, a graphic example, of the sea change at one Buck place from like 2 years ago. I mean, we were screaming about this young defense. I don't know. Some of these draft picks don't look very good. It could be a bust here, a bust there. Where's the playmaker? All of a sudden, Carlton Davis emerges. They got Winfield. Whitehead's improved immensely. Jamel Dean's made some plays. Steve, the secondary is another area where this team is just light years of where they were 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's getting to be an old story already with that. It's incredible, though. And we Bucs fans who have experienced all this it's not going to get old for a long time because those the memories of those horrible seasons are just burned in our brain, and we can appreciate this, which makes it all fun. Ira, I realized I didn't give your question a good answer for a podcast. You know, people, I guess some people tune in and care what we really think here, which is we appreciate it. I know it's many, many thousands of people, but it's always humbling, I guess, in some ways, Ira, even though I know you're not a very humble guy with your $150 meals and your things that you do. One thing I'm really interested in finding out, Ira, just from the historical standpoint, and of course the team revolves around Brady, I really want to know what players say about Brady's knee injury and his surgery. Did they even know what he was going through last year? Did they know that he was playing on a torn MCL? If not, what do they think about it? And I think that's an interesting revelation here from players who I don't think are going to hesitate to talk about it. And I'm real curious, you know, because we don't know if we 100% believe everything that has come out about Brady. I'm curious to see what the players say. Maybe there are some stories there as well. I don't know if you saw anything in the book that you've been editing, Bruce Arians' book. Plus, my eyes will be on Joe Tryon an awful lot. You got to be able to see if the guy looks like he fits in early. Even though we don't expect much from him, he's got to look like he's got some juice out there.
Steve, you're absolutely right. I wish this Brady knee situation, which thankfully is resolved and we're not overly worried about it going into the new season, but Lee, I wish it wasn't so murky. Why has it got to be so murky? When did it happen? How bad was it? Did it affect Brady playing? I mean, Lee, this is like sort of like a carryover from Brady's 20 years of training in the Patriot organization. You never talk about an injury. You never acknowledge an injury. You never list an injury, or you list all of them. You know, Lee Belichick used to put 35 guys as probable or whatever, questionable. He made a mockery of it. And, you know, it was a running joke in Foxborough. And, Lee, all of a sudden, all these things come out about Brady, and Steve's right. We don't know what the hell to believe. Did he really play most of the season on a torn MCL? And if he did, I mean, how much better can he be in 2021 if he's healthy? We absolutely need more answers.
Well, I mean, that's just whetting the appetite of Bucks fans to ponder that Brady could even be better at 44 than he was last year because he played with that bum knee. But I'm glad Steve brought this subject up because coming from USF Doctors today, I was listening to SiriusXM NFL Radio, and Max Starks was co-hosting with your buddy, Ira, John Clayton.
Lee, he's called the professor.
The professor. Yeah. Well, this subject came up about Brady and the injury reports and Brady not being on the injury report. And I'm sort of like what Mike Florio is saying. This nonsense will continue all throughout the NFL until the NFL sits down on teams about this. And Max Starks basically said, "Now I'm not using his words. I'm saying it in my vernacular. What's the big deal? This goes on all the time." And Starks even admitted the last time the Steelers won the Super Bowl, he played the entire season with a torn labrum. Not once was he on the injury report. And he said he didn't need to be on the injury report because he knew he was starting and he knew he was going to play. So he had no business being on the injury report. And so he was saying, so Brady played with a bum knee and it wasn't on the injury report. So what? This happens all the time. Every team. He acted like this was like almost the norm, that you don't put guys on the injury report if they know they're going to be on the field injured or not. And I was wanting your feedback, Ira. Is Max Starks onto something, or is he lifting the lid on a secret here that this goes on all the time and just we're not aware of it?
I think, Steve, and I'll lean on you a little bit because you know a little bit more about what goes on in Vegas than I do. You're attuned to it. Steve, I think this whole issue is going to be more front and center going forward in terms of player injuries going into a game, because gambling inevitably is on the rise in the NFL with the tacit approval, I might add, of the National Football League. And Lee, you know about that. And no matter their rhetoric, they're not consistent in their message about whether to discourage gambling, encourage gambling. So, Steve, I think we're going to hear more and more
about injury reports going forward, because the betting's not going to stop. In fact, it's only going to increase. And it's a lingering issue for the league.
Well, the NFL, look, they love the drama, right? And Lee's right, and Max Starks is right. It's been going on forever. I mean, Scotty Miller, after the season, talked about how he had surgery after last season. He had a groin injury all last season that he had to get repaired, and he wasn't on the injury report every week. And, you know, there is a fair way to look at it, that if Brady knew he was playing every Sunday, then who the hell cares about the injury report? He's playing. Tom Brady's
right.
Playing.
Right.
You could argue, you know, logically speaking, Ira, and we hate being too logical on this podcast, but logically speaking, you could argue that some players, when they're hurt a little bit, they play better. Because they're more focused on technique, they're more within their game, they're less reckless. You could really make that argument logically, so the whole thing's as goofy as hell, but eventually there'll be a scandal, eventually there will be something that's too glaring and too full of crap, and then the league will have a problem, because the gambling is increasing, it's legal in 20-something states now, soon it'll be 30, 40, eventually 50. It's something to watch, but not yet, Ira, not yet.
Ira kind of asked this question. I'm reinforcing his question, for lack of a better term. But what do you guys think of this? I know Steve's read it. It's announced that Caesars, as in Caesars Palace, you know, big gambling outfit, they bought the naming rights to the Superdome. And Ira was just asking him about injury reports. Or, you know, with more gambling, is there going to be more pressure about injury reports? If Caesars is dumping tens of millions of dollars on the Saints, and let's say Alvin Kamara doesn't appear on the injury report, and he's playing lousy, and then after the season, oh, he was playing with a sprained ankle all year long. Don't you think Caesars is going to start leaning on the Saints? Like, what the hell's going on here? We're spending all these millions and tens of millions of dollars. You can't even be up front with us about an injury?
Wow, what a change in the NFL policy, Lee, to allow Caesars, a brand well-associated in the gambling industry, to put their name on an NFL franchise's stadium. Wow, yeah. That would have been, Lee, that would have been absolutely incomprehensible 5 or 10 years ago.
Two
years ago. I think Steve's point's the right point, Lee. I mean, a guy's got a shoulder strain, but he's going to play. Do I really care if he's on the injury list? He's going to play. And I think that's the central question. Is there a doubt whether the guy's going to play? That's another question. With Brady, that wasn't the point, Lee. He was never in danger of missing a start.
Ira, you know, everything on this podcast really is all about you. And so I just can't help but think that your torn labrum in your hip, you know, you're out there playing tennis every day. You're not in any injury report. You're not telling your buddies, hey, look, go easy on me here. I have my hips all messed up. But either way, after a day of tennis with the Sage 103-degree heat index, nothing hits the spot, just like on Football Sunday, like Big Storm beer and the amazing food at the Big Storm tap rooms, all four of them, Cape Coral, Amway Center in Orlando, Clearwater, the flagship location with all the great outdoor covered, fully covered seating, and in Odessa. Don't forget the food at Big Storm Tap Rooms, but they are about the beer. Florida's very best craft beer. Big Storm Beer, BigStormBrewery.com. Follow them on all social media. And we'll be out there all season with the Sage for road games. And drinking more beer is a good thing, Ira, at least on this podcast. Last question, Ira, because we're going light and tight today, because I know you got to work out before Sunday's sweat fest at One Buck Palace. I got to ask you this. And inevitably, there's going to be some people on listening who are going to be just shaking their heads. But I got to ask you, because it's rare that a guy like this is still out there. It's July 22nd. The Bucks could still move some contract money around. You never know. And he's a guy that you know well, because you're a longtime fan of this team. But he's had two excellent years in Indianapolis. Hasn't missed a game. 19 sacks over the last 2 years. Justin Houston is still sitting out there, Ira. Still sitting out there with no Super Bowl ring that I know of. And he's been very effective. You could say that if he had a couple of better years in between in his 10-year career or so, he'd be a Hall of Fame candidate with a, you know, with a decent finish to his career. He's out there. Is it possible that the Bucks, if they get, if Houston's still out there, they get a look at Tryon and be like, ah, this guy's too green. You know, maybe we restructure and we can get Houston in here for $9 million or something. And what do you think? What's your thought? Am I going crazy?
You're not crazy. I think the timing's wrong, Steve. You got to give Tryon a look. Right now, they don't know what they have. Maybe by the end of training camp or towards the end, they'll form an opinion on Tryon's ceiling and whether he could help in 2021. More importantly, whether he can be a contributor this season. Steve, I thought Justin Houston was done 3 years ago. I mean, I'll be honest. But he surprised me. He surprised me. The guy's a one-trick pony, Lee, but he's good at that trick, which is putting the quarterback on his ass. He's good at it. He doesn't cover anybody. He's not that good against the run. Lee, the reason I don't think they're interested in Justin Houston at this time is because they didn't pounce on another guy who I think's better than Justin Houston, and that's Melvin Ingram, Lee, who I believe just signed with the Steelers. I think that's a good pickup by the Tomlin gang. And he was out there, and the Bucks, you know, could have poked around and maybe brought him in. And they didn't do that, Lee. And I think Ingram's a better player than Houston at this point. I think it's premature, Lee. I don't think the Bucks are worried about their pass rush yet. And why should they be? You know, they had 48 sacks last year, top five. And we saw Mahomes is still running, trying to run away from from Shaq Barrett. Lee, he's having nightmares about Barrett and JPP. And that's the reason the Bucks won the Super Bowl, pure and simple. I don't want to hear any other reasons. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. That's it. Mahomes had no chance, period. And I'm not blaming Mahomes. I felt sorry for him. He had no chance. That's the story of the game. Steve, Justin Houston, he's got a little bit left in the tank. I'm a little surprised. But, Lee, until they find out about Tryon, I don't see them making a move.
You hit the nail on the head. You know, first off, we focus so much on Brady because he's Tom Brady and him playing with a bum knee and having surgery. We tend to forget the Bucks have a guy on defense that was pretty much in the same condition. Name's JPP, and he had knee surgery, so he's healthy. So you got JPP coming back, it's healthy. Obviously, Shaq Barrett signed a new contract, and you have Joe Tryon. So I don't think the Bucks are interested yet in going after Justin Houston. Now, of course, if JPP blows his knee out or Shaq Barrett twists his ankle, that's a whole different animal. We're talking that's a completely different story. But as we speak right now, I don't think the Bucks are that interested. Interested in a sense like, that'd be nice to have him, but nothing more than that.
And, Steve, that could change. But, Steve, we got to remember, 3 years ago, you know, injury or no injury, the Bucks wouldn't be interested in a guy like Justin Houston. They wouldn't be interested in adding him. He's too old. We're not getting anybody over 30 years old. We're not doing it. That's all changed, Steve. That's no longer in force. And if there is an injury, I mean any kind of injury, like, JPP's out for 3 or 4 games, that I think is going to be enough in terms of, all in. We got Brady. We're not going to have Brady in 5 years. All in. And everything's changed, Steve. So the mindset is totally different in this front office. The Glazers' mindset has changed. Jason Light, Arians, it's all about 2021 and whatever it takes, Steve. So it wouldn't take much for the Bucks to be interested in a guy like Justin Houston. Keep your eye on him.
Well, I had to ask, Ira. I know it's a doubtful, it's a long shot, but the longer he sits around, the more the Bucks have a chance to see what they got, and it just becomes more of a possibility. It would never be something they would do early, but who knows what Houston's real motivations are. Ira, our motivations is to send everybody to the best damn companies around, and that starts with Bill Curry Ford and GM Sean Sullivan. He's waiting for you. He's your friend in the car business. Email him. His email's right there at BillCurryFord.com. Ask him for help. He's ready to help Bucks fans, and it's such a bonus to have somebody at a quality family-owned dealership like that. Sean Sullivan's your guy, and we appreciate Florida's Elite Restoration. They are there for customers as well, 24/7. They'll respond within 2 hours. Even if you call them at 2:26 a.m., Ira, they're going to be out there helping you out when you have your time of need here, when you find a disaster in your home. And, of course, we love Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Sage, we're out of here. I'm going to let you just give you the floor and say whatever you want. I'm sure it is a good chance it'll be ridiculous. But if not, we will listen to your sage wisdom, and we'll see you soon. Let it go, Ira.
All right, I'll say this, Steve. We take our responsibilities very seriously here. And, guys, as a trio, we have more than ever, we have to be the eyes and ears of Buck Nation. We are the number one go-to site for Buck News. And, Lee, the fact that the rank-and-file fan won't be able to go to training camp, as of now, unless the Bucks amend the policy, we, more than ever, have to tell people and stay on top of all the developments of training camp. And you know what, Lee? We will do exactly that.